Welcome to another Genesis study. Study number 78, Genesis chapter 41. We're going to go through verse 24, I believe, is where we're planning on leaving off. Or verse 25, actually where we'll leave off and pick up in the next one. We want to get right into the study after we give out a hillbilly holla to Sister Jean. Jean Weeb, I believe, is the name. W-I-E-B-E. And she's one of our listeners, been listening for a while and contacted us, and we just want her to know that we appreciate those who contact us. And if you send us questions, prayer requests, you can be assured. Now, sometimes there might be something. There's been a couple of times this past year where I've gone two or three weeks, in a couple of cases I went a month because I overlooked a message. But I never do that on purpose. And if you don't hear from me within a couple, two or three weeks especially, feel free to email me back. And if I'm still here on planet Earth, I'll respond. So let's open our Bible study with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you. We thank you for this book. We thank you for this fellowship that we have online. So long as we have access to this internet to be able to use it the way we have for a number of years now. And I know Satan would love to shut it down and have it turn out like radio and television, where only the ultra wealthy can use it. But we're thankful in this time that we still have it, that you're enabling us to use it for your glory, to do these Bible studies. And we just ask you, help us, guide us, teach us as we study the book of Genesis chapter 41 in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're down to our last 10 studies in the book of Genesis. And literally tens of thousands of people have listened to one or more of these. And that's not just on YouTube. I don't know how many. We're into the thousands on YouTube. And some listen, some and drop off, and you know, you just never know what's going on with people in their lives. And we have quite a number, into the hundreds, who have listened to every single one of them on YouTube. And then we also have these on sermon audio. We play them on our bbfohioradio.com website. And we also have been informed by a number of people who take our messages and put them on DVD or MP3 on CDs. And hand them out to people, so we don't really even know exactly how many are watching and listening, but we're thankful that the Lord, as He tarries, we're thankful that He's allowed us to do this, and we pray that these studies just remain a help. We're not the end-all, we don't want to be. We want to help you in your Bible study. We want you to pick up that book of Genesis, for example, that we're studying right now. Read it. Read from Genesis to Revelation. Read it over and over, at least once a year. Three chapters a day. Everybody can do that. If you turn off the television and put off some less important things and just put the 15, 20, if it takes you 30 minutes, 10 minutes a chapter, which it shouldn't, but if you're just reading it. Now, I'm not talking about study. The study of the Bible is a whole different thing. I'm talking about make it a point to read through the Bible at least once a year, in addition to studying it, in addition to listening to these and other Bible studies and sermons. And as you do that, though, these studies help you. And then when you go back through Genesis again, all this stuff that you got in these studies is just going to help you in your understanding, and it's going to help you as the Holy Spirit uses that in your life. And we've already been told by a couple of people that they've been going back and re-listening because they know they're forgetting things. Listen, folks, I have to do that. I don't listen to myself and my own studies because I love the sound of my voice. I don't. I'll go back and listen to things. I was listening to something in Mark that I taught, I think, 3 or 4 years ago. And I was sitting there just like somebody who'd never heard it before through part of it. I was relearning. This brain of mine is fallen, and your brain, if you have automatic recall, God bless you, but I don't. And then, of course, I utilize other studies by other people in addition to reading through the Bible. And people email or write and say, how many times a year do you read through the Bible? And how many times have you read through the Bible? And no disrespect to people who who count. But I don't count because, number one, I just think it turns into a pride thing. There are guys out there that are heretical, but they brag about the fact that they've read through the Bible so many times. Or, I was reading the Bible before you was even born. Well, it's too bad you didn't understand it, some of you, some of these people who say that. That isn't what matters. It doesn't matter how many times. If you can read through the Bible carefully once a year, it's better than reading it 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 times in a year, not reading and comprehending what you're reading. So in the lecture there, but that's really the point of our studies here in Genesis. As we jump into Genesis 41:1, Joseph is in jail. He revealed the meaning of dreams experienced by Pharaoh's chief butler and chief baker, and it wasn't all good news. And as Joseph predicted, the chief baker died, and the chief butler was restored. And the chief baker died an ugly death. But for the time being, the chief butler has gone back to serving Pharaoh, and we left off in the last verse of chapter 40. It said he forgot him. Forgot is the word for has forgotten in the King James English. And I love those words. I try to use them. And somebody will correct me. On social media, I type out the word Savior with a U in it. And I get people correcting me. That tells me that they're probably reading new versions. Heretic has a K on it. And you'll have people say, you don't even know how to spell. Yes, I do. You're just reading the wrong book. So let's read verse 1. In Genesis 41, and I hope you get your Bible out if you're able to. If you're driving or something, obviously you can't. I think it's Sister Becky who tells me she cleans the house and does things while she's listening. That's great. But if you're able to, because I do that, I listen to the Bible on audio a lot of times when I'm doing things, as long as I don't have to be too intense and I can pay attention. I also do audio books sometimes. If you can, and you open your Bible and you take notes and highlight and underline all that, I think that's just a great thing if you can do that, especially when you're doing Bible studies. But let's pick up verse 1. And it came to pass at the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh dreamed, and behold, he stood by the river. And this is in his dream. He's standing by the river. And you got to put yourself, you can't just, as I said, read through the Bible. Pay attention and think through what you're reading, but and then also, especially when you're studying the Bible. You know, it's important that you just don't hop, skip, and jump through the Bible. And it says, you know, Joseph befriended these guys, and he didn't have good news for the baker, but it wasn't Joseph. He didn't make it up. He was just telling the truth. But Joseph tried to be a friend of these people. And he says to the butler as he's leaving, you know, remember me when you talk to the Pharaoh. And what's he do? 2 years now. 2 years Joseph's been sitting and nothing. And, you know, he probably thought, you know, within days, this guy's going to, you know, he's got to tell the Pharaoh at least within a few weeks, and now it turned to months, and now it's been 2 years. And folks, people will let you down. And I don't tell anybody
except Greg Miller.
No, I try not to let people down, but I don't put myself out there as anything more than a fallible human being, because I may let people down. I try not to. And there's been times, though, where I have a life. I have wife, children, grandchildren, and another one on the way very shortly, and another one a few months after that. Yeah. So, you know, I'm having a good time with all that. But also, there's a lot of responsibilities. And as a pastor, you know, I hope you understand, if you have a good pastor, he's very busy with things that you don't know anything about. And so then someone will get their feelings hurt because I, you know, don't get right back to them on a phone call or an email or something. And I hate that because I don't like letting people down. I don't like making people feel like I'm letting them down. But this is not that kind of a case. This guy just flat out, he may be like overwhelmed. I could have died like that baker, you know, because if he'd seen how the baker died, it had to be very traumatic. That could have been me. And it just may have just left his mind because he's a human being. But that doesn't help Joseph. And the hardest thing for some folks to do is to not blame God. God, why did you let him forget me? Why don't you remind him to speak to Pharaoh? And that's how people respond. And Joseph doesn't appear to have that problem. And I admit there's been a couple times in my life where I started to think like that. But thankfully, I've had influences, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me early on in my walk. I think I may have told this story, but I was under the wing of a Southern Baptist preacher. And he was, you know, going to help me through their Bible college, and I was going to mentor under this fella. I didn't know him real well, but I got to know him, and I thought highly of him. Well, before the school year started, this was during the summer, I think I was 22 or so, and just been married, didn't have any kids yet. And right before the school year starts, he resigns because he's been committing adultery with the secretary. Destroys his marriage, destroys his ministry, leaves the church just in shambles. And I just went home for 2 or 3 days and sulked. I wept and sulked. I was just a baby infant Christian at the age of 22, I guess I was. And I think I have the timing right. It was either right before or right after I got married when this happened. I know I was engaged at least. But I just sulked, and during that time, I read the Bible. I just read the Word. And story after story, and even, you know, Elijah, who thought he was, I'm the only prophet left. And God says, you don't know everything, Elijah. You're a prophet, and I tell you things other people don't know, but you don't know everything. I'm paraphrasing, but that's basically what he said. There was, you know, a remnant who had not bowed the knee. And I just thought, well, not all preachers, you know, are like this guy. I mean, there's got to be some good preachers out there. And so I decided, well, I mean, it wasn't like I was sitting there thinking, I'm going to quit. I'm going to quit on God. But it was back there, you know, the enemy was whispering, quit, quit, quit. Just go back to what you were doing. Go back to the lifestyle where you know, not everybody was good to you, but at least you didn't have to worry about this kind of stuff. And I thought, no, I'm not going to do that. I really believe that there's other men out there. And I just looked it up. It's 7,000 men. Elijah thought he was the only one. And I remember thinking, wow, he thought he was the only one. And it turns out there were 7,000 that he wasn't aware of. Well, then you read, actually, I was reminded of Noah. Because when Noah built the ark, there weren't 7,000. There was 7. And he was the 8th. And I don't know how, I can't recall everything that happened, but I just remember the Lord really getting a hold of me and saying, you know, what if you're the only one left? What if all the preachers turn into adulterers and quit? What are you going to do? And I just decided I would be like Joseph. I was going to be like Daniel. Now, I'm not comparing myself to them. I'm just in the sense of not quitting. Not quitting. And so I could go on and on about that, but that's the kind of thing I've suffered, and I think most people would tell you the same sort of stories if they've lived very long as a Christian. People will let you down. But we have Joseph as a type of Jesus, who in Hebrews 12:2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. You see, Jesus had that foreknowledge, but we have foreknowledge too, because we have the Word of God that tells us what's ahead. We don't have a perfect foreknowledge like Jesus, but we've been given the truth about our future, and we know what's coming. And so no matter how bad it gets down here, no matter how bad people treat you or you turn on you or whatever, when it's all said and done, we're going to be with Jesus. We're going to be as Jesus is, glorified, for we shall see Him as He is. And we're going to spend eternity with Him. And so that's why we need to go and do likewise as Joseph whenever someone lets us down. It's like Moses, back in Hebrews again, 11:27, it says he endured as seeing Him who is invisible. That's us right there, man. I don't care what anybody says. I don't believe these stories of people saying they see Jesus. Most all the descriptions they give are unbiblical. And then their description of the interaction and everything is unbiblical. I don't buy it. But we have to be like Moses, as seeing Him who is invisible. And we can't live in the flesh. And that's Joseph, even though he was during the previous dispensation, and he was actually before the previous dispensation, he was not in law, under law, he was even before the law. But he had the Spirit of God on him in such a way that he's comparable to the Christian in the sense of having, we have the Word of God in our hands, and we have the Spirit of God in us. And that's why Joseph is such a great type of Jesus Christ, because he had a special endowment of the Spirit of God on him that not everybody else did back then. So let's continue. Pharaoh gives the first dream beginning in verse 2. He tells the... and I'm just going to read, find my way back to where I was. I'm just going to read a few verses here. It says in verse 2, "And behold, there came up out of the river seven well-favored kine and fat flesh, kine is cattle, and they fed in a meadow. Verse 3, "And behold, seven other kine came up after them out of the river, ill-favored and lean-fleshed." So you have the fat, healthy ones and the skinny, lean-fleshed ones. They look emaciated. "And stood by the other kine upon the brink of the river." Verse 4, "And the ill-favored and lean-fleshed kine did eat up the seven well-favored and fat kine." So Pharaoh awoke. And I hate waking up with these aggravating dreams where it's either something that, like I said, is aggravating, or it's maybe disgusting or sickening. I've had dreams where, yes, I'm not going to get into it. Some of my dreams might make you think there's something wrong with me. But you can't control your dreams. When I was a kid, I had a dream where my dad was throwing cups of coffee at me from the bottom of the stairs. And all I think was, I smelled the coffee and it was waking me up. And so I pictured Dad throwing cups of coffee. There's no sense to the dreams a lot of times. You wake up and you're just aggravated. And thankfully, I don't remember most of my dreams. And I mean, the ones I do remember are usually just stupid like that. But anyway, he has that dream and he wakes up. He's probably, like I said, aggravated because he doesn't know the meaning of the dream. And then he slept. And verse 5 says, "And he slept and dreamed a second time. And behold, seven ears of corn came up upon one stalk, rank and good. And behold, seven thin ears and blasted with the east wind sprung up after them." So you got healthy corn and you have corn that's not so healthy. "And the seven thin ears," verse 7, "and the seven thin ears devoured the seven rank and full ears. And Pharaoh awoke, and behold, it was a dream." Now, I want to stop there for just a second. There's kine and corn are the two dreams. That's always made it easy for me to remember what Pharaoh's dreams were. Kine and corn. And corn is not wheat or grain. It's corn. And listen, you'll find almost all the commentaries and everything say, well, it wasn't actually corn. I mean, that's a King James Bible. It was corn. And you can go do the research. Corn is pictured throughout ancient Egyptian artifacts and tombs, and these modern scholars are stupid. They're foolish. They're full of skepticism and doubt. And to be honest with you, they want to discredit the King James Bible because it points the finger at them and says, you're going to be judged by a righteous, holy God. And if you don't get saved, you're going to a lake of fire. And they hate that, so they hate Jesus, and they hate the Bible, so they constantly try to discredit the Bible. It was corn. And you can go look at it. I found one decent source. I don't know anything about this man, but if you do an internet search or go on YouTube and do a Gunnar Thompson, G-U-N-N-A-R, Thompson, corn. Those three words, Gunnar, G-U-N-N-A-R, Thompson, corn. And you'll find a video with some great pictures and things that, you know, I can't vouch for the whole video or for this man, but I'm just telling you, that's just one source where you can see this stuff. And these Egyptian collections are all over the world. Wealthy people, people of means, have actually taken these things to themselves, and then sometimes when they died, they put them in museums in their own countries. So they're all over the world, in Israel, in America, and in places in Europe. But when you go look at these things, you see corn. And you know what these stupid scholars will say? Well, that's just actually a bad picture of lettuce. It's just ridiculous. And there's all kinds of other evidence for it. But you know why I believe it was corn in Egypt? Because God's Word says so. And I don't give a flip what the scholars think. And that's why in the unbelieving Christian world, you look in the ESV, it says 7 ears of grain. No, it was corn. You look up the NIV, the New King James Version, the New Living Translation, or New Living Bible, whatever they call that one, and the Southern Baptists have their own Bible out called the Holman Christian Standard Bible. Trash. Across the board. And right here, they change it to heads of grain. No. It was corn. We live in a culture of lies. The schools lie. The news media lies. Apostate churches and preachers lie. Their seminaries teach lies, putting out preachers that preach and teach lies. The major political party leadership are a bunch of liars. I mean, the entertainment media across the board lie, lie, lie. But we have the truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. John 14:6. No man comes to the Father but by me. And then he prayed, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. John 17:17. So we have Jesus, and we have the truth. We have his book, which is the truth. And we have the Spirit of truth. When you're born again, the Spirit of God comes in you, and you have the Spirit of truth in you. John 16:13. But Pharaoh knows corn whenever he sees it. I thought of Noah because Noah had corn on the ark. We'll find that out one of these days for sure. So without the Word of God, we're going to see what happens here. How does Pharaoh respond? Well, it says in verse 8, and it came to pass in the morning that his spirit was troubled, and he sent and called for the magicians of Egypt and all the wise men thereof. And Pharaoh told them his dream, but there was none that could interpret it unto Pharaoh. And this is where you're at without the Word of God. If you're not saved, you don't have the Spirit of God, you can't understand the Word of God. And so you're going to have to resort to your own spirit and to divination. And that's what you see people, non-Christians, you'll see them even if they're not like into it, like a religion, you still see them going to astrology and psychics and horoscopes and all that stuff. And the old saying is, back to the book or back to the jungle. And America is going back to the jungle. So the butler is going to have a flashback. And we're just going to read a few verses here, 9 through 13. It says, then spake the chief butler unto Pharaoh, saying, I do remember my faults this day. He said, oh, wait a minute, I remember. Verse 10, Pharaoh was wroth with his servants and put me in ward in the captain of the guard's house, both me and the chief baker, and we dreamed a dream in one night, I and he. We dreamed each man according to the interpretation of his dream, and there was with us a young man, an Hebrew servant of the captain of the guard, and we told him, and he interpreted for us, or to us, our dreams. To each man according to his dream did he interpret. And it came to pass, as he interpreted to us, so it was. Me he restored unto mine office, and him he hanged. So notice the butler's crediting Joseph with not just interpreting, but his interpretation causing the thing to actually happen. And that's not the way it is, but I've had people come up and they'll say, Pastor Greg saved me. Pastor Greg, an unsaved guy, a couple times this has happened, a couple times. Pastor Greg wants to save me. Well, I want Jesus to save them. Pastor Greg didn't save anybody. Jesus saves you. I'm glad to be able to share the gospel and everything. And it's a teachable moment, and sometimes it's a spiritual infant. Somebody gets saved. Yeah, Pastor Greg saved me. Oh, wait a minute. No, I didn't save anybody. But like Joseph, we want to always turn people to the Lord and give Him the credit and the glory. And I can say a lot about Christians tooting their own horn and all that, but it's very unbecoming and it's just ridiculous. None of us deserve any praise. If you did something good for the Lord, if you did something good, helped somebody along to the Lord, He deserves the praise. And that's just that. So, and that's what we see Joseph does exactly that. Verse 14 says, Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him hastily out of the dungeon, and he shaved himself and changed his raiment, and came in unto Pharaoh. Verse 15, And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I have dreamed a dream, and there is none that can interpret it. And I have heard thee say of thee that thou canst understand a dream to interpret it. Well, verse 16, Joseph responds the way we should always respond. Verse 16 says, And Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, It is not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. I'm not going to name names or even tell you what it happened, but there was one time where we prayed for somebody. I laid hands on them just as I prayed. I put my hand on their shoulder and prayed for them. And they received a healing. Whew, man, that person wanted to turn me into the next healing, faith healing pastor and that sort of thing. No, I don't want nothing to do with that. It didn't have anything to do with me. God answered a prayer. Didn't have anything to do with me. I don't have the apostolic gifts. Nobody in this dispensation does. It doesn't matter what you do. You give somebody a glass of cold water, you should give God the glory for it. So verse 17 says, And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, In my dream, behold, I stood upon the bank of the river. And behold, there came out of the river seven kine, fat-fleshed and well-favored, and they fed in the meadow. So he's recounting his dream to Joseph. Verse 19, And behold, seven other kine came up after them, poor and very ill-favored and lean-fleshed, such as I never saw in all the land of Egypt for badness. Verse 20, And the lean and the ill-favored kine did eat up the first seven fat kine. Verse 21, And when they had eaten them up, it could not be known that they had eaten them, but they were still ill-favored, as at the beginning. So I awoke. And verse 22, And I saw in my dream, and behold, seven ears came up, one stalk, full and good. And behold, seven ears withered, thin, and blasted with the east wind sprung up after them. Verse 24, And the thin ears devoured the seven good ears. And I told this unto the magicians, but there was none that could declare it to me. And this is where we're going to have to leave off. But magicians can't do anything, but Joseph, relying on God, will be able to help Pharaoh. And that's the thought that we'll end with.